But it's on the power of love. And we sang, I tried to write down quickly a couple of the choruses this morning. It was about believing in your love, Lord, and certain and true is your love, and keep me within your love. And I just trust that as I share this morning, it will be a blessing to us all. And I want to base it, first of all, on one very famous and familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's that expression, for God so loved that he gave. And we know the Greek word for love is agape. And it's a love that does what is best for man. That's the love of God. The love of God is that love that does what is best for man. It's an act of the will, but it's a love that expresses compassion. And God so loved, that's why it says, God so loved that he gave, that he actually gave. And who did he give? Who came? We know we've been celebrating that this morning. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, that actually came. One of the Trinity, one of the Godhead. And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know was the epitome of the love of God. He was the express image of the Father. He was an embodiment of the love of God. He was a personification of the love of God. And the Lord Jesus, the Son, was God the Father's gift of love to mankind when we didn't deserve it. And we know that even in our own hearts, even as Christians, we know we don't deserve the love of God, but we thank him so much that he gives it to us. So the Lord Jesus was God's gift of love. And the Lord Jesus himself, even as a man, and the mystery of the Godhead and the manhood of Christ, and he was still the Son of God, he was love. And he was God manifest in the flesh. And we know the scripture says that God is love. So if you want to know what the love of God is, if you want to know what true love is, you look at the Lord Jesus, you look at his life, and that's when you see love. The agape love and the love of God. And everything that Jesus did for mankind was out of the love of the Father, and he was an expression of that love. He was an expression of the love of the Father, and God gave love to mankind. And love walked among us for those years, ministered love, ministered health, ministered strength, ministered all manner of different expressions of that love. But it's not just love on its own, because love has to go hand in hand with many other things, but I'm just emphasizing something else this morning. The Lord Jesus was the supreme example of a love or a life lived in complete and perfect faith in the Father and the Father's ability to love and to show that love. Jesus as a man had complete faith in the Father, and he really believed and expected the Father's love to be expressed through him by the Holy Spirit, and to show that love to his creation. And that's what he came to do. He came to live that love. He came to be that love. He was that love. It's the mystery of the divinity in flesh. But it was to manifest to that love. And also, to go with that, Jesus' life was a life completely lived in perfect faith. He lived it completely in perfect faith. And I'll tell you why I believe that. It's because it says in the scriptures, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the scripture also says, and Jesus said this, I always do those things that please the Father. So his life was a life of love, and he expressed that love, but his life was a complete life of perfect faith. And everything he did in his love to the Father and his love to mankind pleased the Father. So his love was combined with his faith as a man, submissive to the will of the Father and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had complete and perfect faith, but he also was and had complete and perfect love. You could never get an example of a man or a human being that had these two in complete perfection and fullness. And because he had and he was perfect love, that's why he could exercise perfect faith. And in Galatians 5, we have this verse in verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." It was the conflict they had between Jew and Gentile. But it goes on to say, "But it is faith working through love." The NIV puts it this way: "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The Amplified says it's a faith that is activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. In other words, what it's saying to energize something and to activate something is to actually set something in motion. It's to press a button, and the power then begins to move. It makes it work. You put something on, and with electricity, you press the button, and the power begins to move, whether it be a vacuum cleaner, a washing machine, or anything else like that. That's what this is expressing here. It's a faith that is activated. It's love that presses the button, that energizes that faith, and it sets it in motion. That's why we can consistently find in the scriptures, in the Gospels, Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And it was the love of the Father within him that was energizing him, was activating him and set him in motion and loosed the power of that love, which expressed itself in faith, which resulted in the mighty miracles he performed. I'm not going into the doctrine of how much of his deity Jesus laid aside when he became man, but all I know is he lived as a man, and he was anointed of the Holy Spirit as a man. But it was that love of the Father, that love that set in motion this compassion that moved him to meet people's needs, to minister to them, whether it be by teaching, by healing, whichever way that he did it. But he was completely motivated by this love. And I just believe that the people that he touched, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, were not healed merely by faith, but by the faith that works by love. Jesus was moved with compassion. So what do we mean when we speak about love, about compassion? Because as Christians, we know that we want it. I want the love of God in my heart. I want more compassion in my own heart and experience. So what is this love? What is this compassion that each one of us is supposed to have as Christians? Is it an emotional power? Because it is a power. We sang in one of those choruses, the power of his name. What is his name? Love. Is it an emotional power? Yes. Is it a mental power? Yes. Is it a spiritual power? Yes, the love of God is a spiritual power. But I want to, I suppose, major in one sense this morning more on the emotional side of this love of God. It is a feeling, and it's an outgoing love for somebody or many people that are actually in distress. Now, we can have that humanly speaking, can't we? We can see distress, we can see things on the television, things that are happening, and we can have a measure of love and a measure of empathy and sympathy and compassion. But the love of God and the compassion that the Lord Jesus had goes far higher than that. It's not the human love. It's an emotion. The actual Greek word for it is a word that's connected to the spleen, to the inner part of our intestines, our bowels, it says in the Old Testament, were moved, the prophet said, within him. And you know that when something touches you, when something brings you into anguish and distress, there is a moving within your very being, and it's often physical. And sometimes when you're in a situation and you want to do something, there is a yearning there, there's a pity, there's an inward affection, and we are moved with a feeling, and we're moved with compassion. And so when Jesus loved, when he saw the multitude, when he saw those that were in need, he was moved with compassion, and I believe that in his innermost being, physically, he felt it. Emotionally, and I believe he felt it physically. And he was moved, first of all, within himself, and then he was moved towards the needs of others. And that's what I want to major on that this morning, in one sense. I'm going to be looking at the Jesus ministry of love. But if I am not moved within my own heart and my own spirit, and sometimes even physically in very stressful situations, in dire needs, then I question how much is going to happen. I really do question how much. What have I got to give to somebody else? If I'm not deeply moved myself, how can I minister in that way of the power of God's love to anybody else? I'm not saying you've got to have that feeling every time inside, emotionally, physically, etc. But we've got to be moved with compassion, because compassion is a power. It is an essential power. And the name of the power is love. And that, as I've already said, is the name of God, because the scripture says God is love. And so when we pray for people, for whatever situation they be in, and I'm going to be majoring, a lot of the verses will be to do with healing, because much of the Lord's compassionate ministry was healing. But I want to make it clear this morning, when I minister about this, I'm not talking just about physical healing. And I'm not saying that when we pray for everybody that everybody's going to be healed or anything like that. I want to make a few things clear as I go on, along. But when we pray for people in need, and we've had people in our fellowship in need and are still in need at this moment, and people connected with our fellowship. That's why my message changed this morning, because of what has happened to one or two folks in our fellowship who are in dire need, life and death. Dire need at the moment. And when we pray for people in situations like that, we have got to be first conscious of the power of the love of God within us. And there are times when we can feel it, and there are times when we don't, especially if the person or people are closer to us. And it's more difficult sometimes when it's not so close and we don't know people quite so well. But we have got to be moved with the very love of God within us. And we, each one of us, have God within us. You have God within you. I have God within me through the Holy Spirit. We are partakers of the divine nature, and we have the love of God within us. And we have to be moved with that love of God, with God Himself. The power of love is the power of God, and I want to feel my love and power for these people. When we heard the news about Hannah's husband James this week, and how it is, and it's still a continuing thing, my heart was breaking within me, and I thought, Lord, I can't pray like this on my own. I can't, when I say that, of my own feelings. But I'm just speaking personally here. Because of the situation, my heart went out to them. And there are times when you yearn and you intercede in a way that you don't normally do. And this week, I know not only for myself, but for others, tears have been shed, and not just light tears. Tears have been shed in travail for him and the whole situation. And that is the love of God. You are moved in your bowels with compassion for situations. And that has to continue until the Lord does something. But you cannot work it up. You can't work it up, because it's a feeling. And how do we command a feeling? How can you command a feeling? So I ask the question, how do we get this love of God? How do we get this compassion for somebody or something when it's not there? And I feel guilty many a time when I don't feel the compassion and the love for situations and circumstances that I ought to, that I want to. So what do I do about it? What do any of us do about it? Well, I believe that the seat of holy affection, God's love, is actually in the will. God willed to love us. When he looked upon us, and he looks upon the world in its state and its sinfulness, and it's, it, well, we don't, even look at some of the things that are going on, God still loves the world that we see on our television. He still loves the people that we know about and hear about, because we were like that once and still are in our basic nature. And God has willed to love. He willed to love us. He willed to have goodwill towards us. He willed to have mercy and grace towards us. And we can command our will, actually, to have goodwill towards others. We may not feel it to begin with, but we command it. We can pray for the love of God to flow through each one of us, because the feeling is the result of that praying for that love and the manifestation of that love. So let's go to the scriptures, and I want to give you some instances in the life of Jesus. And as I said, I'm not going to be quoting every verse, because otherwise you'd be going, because it's different times when he healed. I'm just going to be giving the scriptures themselves. They're all examples of healings, but I want to express again that I'm not saying that every time we have the power of love and that feeling of love, it's a guarantee that the Lord is going to heal somebody physically, or that he's going to break into a situation and do something. We all know from experience that it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the Lord moves and he hears the prayer. He hears every prayer, and sometimes he will heal and raise somebody up. Sometimes he doesn't. Scriptures are full of different situations where that happens. Sometimes, and it talks about that in Hebrews, in the book of faith, great faith, and yet with others that didn't receive a healing or weren't delivered in situations. We look at different examples in the scripture, and we see people that prayed for a situation and prayed for it for years. Others prayed for a situation and deliverance came immediately. There isn't a blueprint. There isn't a guarantee that the way that we pray, if it's all going to happen. But I just believe that these are principles that we can exercise more and more as a fellowship. So what I want to do is just to look, first of all, at the compassion that Jesus had on his own. This was his own compassion moving through him, not linked to anybody or anything else. This was Jesus' own compassion. And I want to give you these verses to see how real it was to him and how real it was to the people he was ministering to. And we're told, Luke tells us about the great multitude that came to be healed by him of the diseases and unclean spirits. And it says the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power or virtue or love went out from him and healed them all. This was the power of the love of God moving out through him, and the power of it was healing people. All they wanted to do was touch him, and the virtue went out, the power of the love. Matthew tells us about this, or a similar one. He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. This isn't to do with healing here. It's to do with the fact that these people were emotionally, spiritually, and every other way weary and scattered, and they did not have a sheep. That's why I'm saying it's not just for healing. It's not just for physical blessing. But as I say, most of them were. You have the leper that came to him. And it says, he says, if you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. And the Lord says, I am willing. And it says Jesus was moved with compassion, and he stretched out his hand and he touched him. He said, I am willing, be cleansed. And the very act of Jesus reaching out his hand and touching him was an evidence of that love, and that man knew it. The minute the hand of Jesus touched that leper, he felt the power of love. Because no one had touched him since he got that disease. And the love of God did that. And I just believe in certain situations, you know, a hug, a touch. And I'm talking about a real touch that comes, a real hug that comes from that moving of compassion. A real word that God puts in your heart to share with somebody that comes from that moving of compassion. is what they need at that precise moment in their experience. How many of us have received something at the right time and somebody has been moved with compassion to phone us or tell us or touch us, and it has just met the need at that particular time? And that man's faith, I believe, was activated by the love of Jesus, the power of the love of Jesus. You have a similar situation with blind Bartimaeus. He's on the road, he hears the multitude, and he cries out and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people warned him not to cry out, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus, we know, calls him because Jesus heard his cry. Love heard the cry of this man. And his response to that cry was that he called him to himself. And he told the people to bring him. And what they were saying in essence, you know, Bartimaeus, Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He's calling for you and he's got compassion. And I believe when Bartimaeus heard that, something about that power of the love, the call of Jesus, it excited something within him, and it raised hope, it raised expectation, and it raised faith. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Strange, isn't it? Because he could see he was blind. "What do you want me to do for you?" The question goes out to every one of us. What do I want Jesus to do for me? What do I want his love and his compassion to do for me? And there can be just various needs in our situation, is it? But Jesus' love, I believe, activated. It was the button that pressed the faith of Bartimaeus to believe that he would be healed. And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." It was a combination of the faith of Bartimaeus and the love of Jesus. You get the same thing. I'm going through them quickly. Jesus had compassion on two other blind men, and it was the power and feeling of love, and he touched their eyes, and again they felt that power. And then at the Pool of Bethesda, and it's something I shared with the sisters the other day, with that man who was there, he'd been there for 38 years, going to that Pool of Bethesda, lying there, wanting to be put into the waters when they were stirred. But he said, the sick man answered, well, Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." For 38 years, he'd had no man to put him into the pool. Nobody, probably didn't have parents or whatever, but he had nobody who had compassion and had the ability to put him into that pool. Nobody cared for him enough. No one loved him enough. No one was moved with compassion to put love into action and literally move him. That's all he wanted. He wanted somebody to help him and move him. But there had been nobody with that compassion or ability to do it. But the lovely thing is that the love of Jesus moved him, and he didn't have to get in to the pool. Rise, take up your bed and walk. You have the man with dropsy that came to the synagogue, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees criticized him for healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them and he said, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that's fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And what he was challenging them about was, you know, you've got more compassion for animals than you have for human beings. And unfortunately and sadly, brothers and sisters, that is the case in our nation. There are more people that can have more compassion for a sick animal than they have for a fellow human being. And you know, people will go to extremes with their emotions when they are aroused on behalf of a poor, defenseless animal. They will go to extremes, and we've seen it. And you get the same expression as well with the woman that was bent over for 18 years, with a spirit of infirmity. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't raise herself up. And Jesus again heals her on the Sabbath. And again, he says the same thing to them. He says, you are hypocrites. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall? He said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it. He adds that bit there. Think of what I am saying. Ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should she not be loosed on this bond on the Sabbath? And he was moved with compassion, and that woman, after 18 years, was raised to full health and strength. Those were examples of Jesus' own compassion. He didn't need anybody else to activate that compassion. Nobody else had to be concerned in as much as the individual. It was just him and the individual, or the multitude when he was just speaking. But there are other times in his ministry, and this is what I want to bring it to with our own fellowship here, where Jesus' compassion, where his love and the power and the motivation of love was linked with the motivation and the love of others. Great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet. Here you have other people who are involved in this love for these people. They brought their loved ones. We don't know how far they came, but they brought their loved ones. They were bringing lame people, blind people, maimed people, people that could not get there on their own. And it was the love and concern and empathy and pity and sympathy of somebody else or a group of others that activated their love to bring that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is here, even the power of natural love makes people move. It makes people love. And in this place, and I'm just visualizing, can you just visualize these people, multitudes of them, bringing all these sick, every one of them loving the person that they brought or the people that they brought. Love is an emotion. Love is a feeling. You can feel it even in an atmosphere where there's love. You can feel an atmosphere of hate. You can feel an atmosphere of bitterness. You can feel atmospheres all sorts. You can cut the atmosphere with a knife sometimes. But when they were bringing their loved ones to Jesus, there was an atmosphere of love. There was an atmosphere of collective love in that place. There was a compassion within them. Bowels yearning that Jesus would do something and minister to their family and friends. And I really believe that that atmosphere of love can actually activate faith within each one of us. And it was happening here, and it happened when the sick of the palsy, when the man who had palsy was brought by his four friends. It was love literally in action. It was combined love on the move, and no cost was too great for them. They loved their friend, and they were literally moved with compassion. And I believe that their human love joined with the love of God and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to perform a miracle. And I believe that our human love and compassion can be the pump or the springboard for the higher and greater love of God that is within each one of us to activate and be activated and energize that faith. You get the same illustration with Simon's mother-in-law. They'd been to the synagogue and they entered into Simon's house, and we're told that Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. They, not just Simon on his own, they made a request. They all knew her. They'd probably ate and had fellowship in the home. They all had love and concern in the home, and in that home there was a combined feeling of love, and it was an atmosphere of love. It was conducive for the Lord to work a miracle in her life. You have the same with Jairus's daughter. He fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. And only a parent can feel that love. when your child is going through something, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, emotional, or any other way, only a child, a parent can feel that. And he was moved in his very depth. He was begging Jesus. He was moved within the very depths of his being. And Jesus went with him. But when he got there, he only took 3 disciples and the parents in with him, and everybody else was out. And I wonder why he did that. A, because yes, they didn't believe in him, but they did not have that same love. They were not motivated with that same love, and their attitude could have affected the whole atmosphere in that particular room. The widow of Nain. When Jesus went there and he saw them carrying out her son, her only son, he had compassion on her and he said to her, "Do not weep." You can't say that normally to a person that's crying for a loved one. It's not the thing to say. People would say, "Well, how heartless is that?" It's the natural thing to do, to weep and grieve for a child. Or for any loved one. It's the most natural thing to do. But Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he had compassion on her, and his love was reaching out to this woman who was loving her dead son. And we know the wonderful miracle, but the power of love brings life. There was a nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, and he said, "Sir, come down before my child dies. I'm begging you, you're my only hope." And Jesus didn't have to go, he just spoke and he said, "Go your way, your son lives." And there was something in the love and the way that Jesus said it that he believed it. And he went his way and his son lived. The centurion servant who was dear to him, and he begged earnestly, and the Jewish leaders said, "Lord, you've got to do something. He loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue." This man's love for the Jewish people, and in a way, love for God, made him give. And in reward for that, if I could put it that way, he received what he was wanting. The Syrophoenician woman, I'm not going into them in great depth in that side, but she cried out, "Lord, for her daughter, Lord, have mercy on my daughter," and all the things that she had to go through before the Lord actually did what she wanted. But she was in anguish and her heartstrings, and it was a compassion that made her go. I think maybe sometimes a sign of how much we actually have compassion is whether we see something through to the end, or whether we give up. And no sacrifice or humiliation was too great for that woman. She would do anything because it was the power of love. And then just, excuse me, just a couple more. After the Mount of Transfiguration, when they came down, and the man was there who had that son again that had been epileptic and different other things were wrong with him. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son." In Mark it says, "You can do anything. Have compassion on us and help us." And in Luke it says, a man from the multitude cried out saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child." All the focus of this man was on this child, his only child. And Jesus turns around, he says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And he cries out with tears and he says, "Lord, I do believe. Please help my unbelief." He was in agony over seeing his child who he loved suffering and nearly dying. And his love, it was strong. It was a father's love for his child. It was as strong as any love could be. But it needed a greater love to actually activate the faith that he lacked for the miracle to happen. I don't understand all these mysteries, but I know there is power in the love of God. There's power in the love of God in you. There's power in the love of God in me. And I'm just praying that we will have more of it in our fellowship. And the last example I'm giving this morning is Lazarus. Jesus, he whom you love is sick. Please come. And it goes on to say in that, before he even goes back to there, he says, now Jesus, it says, loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. He loved them, but he stayed for 2 days. And when he got there, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, and Mary came along afterwards, Lord, if you had been here. What they were saying, I put it this way, if you had been here, Lord, and you had seen the one you love suffering and dying, the love you had for him would have been moved in your inner being, and you would have activated, and you would have been activated into doing something. That's what they were saying. They knew that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus loved Nazareth, and they were asking for something greater. And wherefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and there was that moving of compassion deep within his spirit, and that love of compassion was moving him, and he knew what he was going to do, and he knew it was going to be the glory of God. But it brought forth and energized the faith for the resurrection of Lazarus to the glory of God. There was love here. There was the love of Jesus naturally for Lazarus, but there was the love of Martha, there was the love of Mary, there was the combined love of the people that were grieving, there was the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? And I said it before, and I wrote down a few little things as I was thinking here. Healing is not guaranteed. It doesn't always happen. Your situation, your circumstance, whatever it might be, financially, emotionally, spiritually, to do with work, to do with school, to do with lots of other things, it's not a guarantee that it will change. It may change, it may not change, because the prayer of the Lord gave us, our Father who art in, thy will be done. But I believe that our love can help one another in situations and circumstances to have the faith and believe that God is in it. I mentioned earlier there are Bible accounts there where there wasn't deliverance. There were Bible accounts where there was deliverance. But in it all, we cannot question the love of God. And they acted on that love. You know, many people, they talk about Job and the patience of Job and all that Job went through. And we go to the end of the book and we see how God answered prayer, and we see how God gave him back. He had 7 new sons and he had 3 new daughters, and he loved them and he raised them, him and his wife. But did he ever forget the 7 that had died? And the 3 daughters that had died, that ache and pain and grief was with him till he died. You can't, it's not a question of, you know, simplicity. Let's not forget the reality of things. There is suffering of all mankind, and as Christians as well. But I want to just leave you with a little thing that I've got a book. You can't get hold of it, actually. It's very rare. But it's about, and I've mentioned this before, it's about a pastor back in the 1920s up to the 1940s in Chicago in America. Wasn't a well-known pastor, wasn't a great evangelist or anything like that, didn't do all the different things that some of these people do that bring discredit to the name of the Lord. Very insignificant. But he saw the Lord doing some very precious things in his church, in healings and other things as well, not just that. But it was through the power of love. He emphasized so much the power of love and compassion. And he says this when he was praying for a particular brother who was at death's door, actually. And he said, I felt a saturation point of love within myself, which became an outpouring through my hands to the afflicted man. I was caught up, as it seemed, in a contagion of holy affection for him, And it was as though this energy of love escaped from the very pores of my body. He felt it. It was something so strong within him. And that man was actually healed of, I think it was cancer, if I remember rightly. But I come back, and he paid a price for that, and it wasn't something that came to him easily. But I come back personally, and it's a challenge to me, and it's a challenge to all of us. How do I get this love of God to energize and activate my faith that virtue might flow out of me in whatever situation it is? And as I say, I'm not majoring particularly on physical healing, but how do I get that love? I remember once when I felt it physically, and it was when my cousin, who had suffered from, she suffered from asthma actually, very, very serious asthma from a child. She was very incapacitated. And she was probably in her 50s then, or whatever. But she'd been on oxygen for many a year and different things like that. And I went to visit her. We went down to visit her in her home. And I knew that it was probably the last time that I would ever see her again. And she, I'd spoken to her about the Lord. I didn't know where she stood in that sense. She listened and she talked, etc., etc. But I can remember talking to her this time. And I said to her, Carol, I said, you know, and I just gave her the gospel again, and I just want to pray with you that the love of God and you will understand, etc., etc., you know, and I just laid my hands upon her. And that was the first time I ever felt, when I prayed for somebody, that I felt the power of love. I felt it physically. I felt that emotion, but I felt something. I knew that God was touching her in her spirit. And I believe that, and she thanked me, and I believe that something was happening in her spirit. And she died not long after that. And I'm not saying I want to go around feeling that when I'm praying for everybody, but you understand what I'm coming from here. I want to feel something in my spirit. But how do I do it? How do any of us do it? I believe the first thing we have to do is to love him. We love him first. We love the Lord first, and we fill our hearts with love and worship to him, and we come in contact and closeness with love himself. And we know that love dwells within us. And I said it earlier on, you have God within you. You have the love of God within you. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to cleanse us, make us clean vessels through whom he can move, I really believe that he can manifest his love and the power of that love as we pray for one another, as we minister to one another, as we share with one another in whatever practical or other ways it can take place. I don't have time to say other things that I was going to say, but just let me close with these thoughts. The love of God is perfected in us, the scripture says. God is love, and he dwells within each one of us. Jesus says, I pray, Father, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and that I will be in them. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us, and the Holy Spirit is God, and God is love. The Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the power of love. And brothers and sisters, according to how much we really desire, really want to be filled with the power of love, I believe that God will meet us. And I'm not talking just individually. I'm talking as a fellowship. I'm talking about that power of love in our fellowship. And with that, I want to close. But what we are going to do this morning, and those of you at home can pray as well, but Enid has asked if she could be anointed with oil. She has been suffering, as some of you know, and the sleep things and different other things. And she's asked us to anoint her with oil this morning. And I believe I wanted to do it after. We want to do it after the word, because I felt that what I've shared this morning will activate our faith, activate our love in the atmosphere of love that we have here for our sister, that you have at home, not just for Enid, but for others, and you can think of them. There are others in our fellowship that need the power of God's love in their situations at this moment. And I just pray that each one of us will contribute to that in our love and our faith. Amen. I don't know where this mask business is, but I don't really care about that at the moment.
We'll leave them on. Pardon? So we'll leave them on. You keep going.
That's okay. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, and we come with love to you, and I thank you for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you've expressed